Daf Beis, we were preoccupied with the issue of defining the word mechitza as either a wall or a verb to divide. And we encountered two lishonos. And we have them marked with this form. We call it a bow tie. And we finished Lashon 1. Now we're starting Lashon 2. Lishna Achrino, Amri Lo, Sava. Once again, you see the word Savruha. But here, it's going to not... The Tosfos yesterday had suggested that this is... will not only will it stick, but it will be Lahalocha, this Lashon. So he says, my Mechitza. How are we going to interpret Mechitza of the Mishnah? Plukta, a division. Bechti, Bati, Mechza, Soeda. Okay, so that's as far as that word is concerned. Then, what does the Gemara do now? It reads this into the Mishnah. Whereas it keeps reading the Mishnah. The Kivan de Ratsu, this is paraphrasing the Mishnah, and these Shutvan wanted to make the division. What's the continuation? Boinin es HaKoisel, that's what it says in the Mishnah, with the Gemara's addition, Baal Korchon. They have to build the wall. Almos, you see from this, Hezek Rio Shmei Hezek. In contrast with yesterday's Lashon, which you could see right across the page with your diamond and the double underline, the opposite conclusion. So the Gemara now asks, like we did yesterday, but now in the opposite direction, Hi'emo Mai Mechitza Gudah. Let us suggest that maybe a definition of where Mechitza means a wall, not a division. Think of, to build a wall. This Sanya, the source we saw yesterday as well, Mechitza Sakerem Shenifritza. This is between the grain field and the vineyard. The Mechitza Sakerem, that's a the wall between the two fell or broke open. Omer lo gedor, the owner of the grain field says to the vintner, he says, build it up. Nifritza, fell again, broke open again. Omer lo gedor. Nesiyai shemeno v'lo gadra, hareze kidesh, v'chayav bachriyusa. And I recommend here a semicolon as well, like yesterday, because we don't have to dwell on this source anymore. The reason it was brought in was only for that one word, mechitza, showing that a mechitza is a wall. Okay. Now, v'tayma d'ratzu, using the suggestion now. The suggestion is what? That mechitza means a wall. And the Mishnah indicated the shufen shiratzu, they wanted to, according to this flow, they wanted to what? To make a wall. Halo Ratsu, if they didn't want to make the wall. So if one of the guys doesn't want the wall, we're not going to force the other guy, we're not going to force him to contribute. Almo, we would therefore conclude Hezek Rio, Lav Shmei Hezek. Right? Question mark. What's the point here? This is the end of the Emo. The Emo suggestion was maybe we should explain Mechitza meaning a wall. The Gemara says, no, I don't accept that. E hachi, because if it were to mean wall, bonin es hakoisel. Bonin osomi boyale. As the Mishnah kept reading, it should have used a pronoun. Because once you say, shuf shirotsu lasos mechitza, means the shufim that wanted to build the wall, then the continuation word, they should build it. Why does the Mishnah use the word kosel again? So it must mean that kosel is the first time wall is appearing, not the second time. It's all right. LMI, so what do you want to say? Pluta. You want to insist on the definition of mechitza meaning a division? Yochi sherotsu lachsos mechitza, which is what it actually says. Rather, sherotsu lachsos mi boyele. It should have said this expression. And it doesn't say that. Sherotsu lachsos would be the verb form. They wanted to divide. What does that mean? To make up. To make up would be a reference to a noun. So the Gemara says, listen, That doesn't deter me. I'm going to stick with the definition of mechitza as a verb form. And kidamri and she, this is the way people speak. Ta na vid plukta. I think in English we can say the same thing. People will say, as opposed to let us divide, let us make a division. It's acceptable, even from Aramaic and in English. So that's how the Mishnah can read the word mechitza as meaning a division without encountering this grammatical difficulty. Period. V'i hezek rio shmei hezek. Notice the arrows. What does this point to? This arrow is a reference back to the conclusion we had reached in the second lashon, namely that hezek rio, this infringement of privacy, is a reality, is a is considered a damage. If that's so, my irya ratsu, why does the Mishnah speak about the partners, the neighbors wanting afilu l'ratsunami, even without this mutual agreement, even without that, it still could be, it should be forcible, even if there's not unanimous or right this mutual agreement. More answers. Omar Ravasi, Omar Rav Yochanan, Mishnah Seinu, the case that our Mishnah is dealing with, that this mutual initial agreement is expected, is kishein bodin chaluka v'hu deratsu. It's a small chotzer. I think we mentioned, we made reference to this yesterday as well, that if it's less than four amas per person, you can't force a division. Namely, if the chotzer is seven amas total, then they cannot force the division. They have to join. They have to remain in a joint holding of the chotzer. So, if that's the case, if our Mishnah is talking about a chotzer she'ein bodin chaluka, so there's no division to talk about unless they mutually agree to divide the small area. Gemara asks, notice with our markings we have now about a five-line question. My komash malon, what is the Mishnah then mechadish to us? What's it telling us that we didn't know already? Dechiles beidin chaluka kirotsu pligi, that in the event that the chotzer is small, if there's mutual agreement, pligi means they can make a division. Tanina, there's another Mishnah that deals with that. It's a Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. That already deals with that problem. What does it say there? It's in a frame. The frame is a Tanaic source. Amosai, Bizman Shein Shneim Roitzim. Avol Bizman Shein Shneim Roitzim. If the two neighbors want to make a division, if it's smaller than the legal size, they will make a division. They can make a division. So what do I need to have two Mishnayas addressing the same issue? The Gemara answers. If I had just the source on Yud Aleph, Have Amina, I would have thought. Notice this is a phrase. Afilu pochos mikan, a small sized area, the case of Afilu pochos mikan, the small sized area, b'mesipas bi'almo, the division would be through those low boards. Komash molon hocha. Notice how we read the Gemara with the connector. Komash malon hacha, we're telling you over here, koisel, because of hezek riyah, that because that is a reality, this privacy and intrusion of privacy, if they agree to divide a small area, the less than official size, once they agree to divide, and then one of them wants a wall, the other one will have to put up the wall as well, because of hezek riyah. The Gemara asks, "V'lisni ha, v'lo lisni ach." Why not teach this Mishnah? And forget, you don't need the Mishnah on Yud Aleph, because this Mishnah would ostensibly contain all the novel information, all the relevant information. The Gemara answers, the Mishnah there on Daf Yud Aleph is taught because seifoitz drichulei, because of the continuation of the Mishnah that's found over there, and we again have it in a frame as part of the Tanaic source. What does it say there? The Kisvei HaKodesh, holy scrolls, Afapisha Shneim Rotsim, if two people, let's say, own a holy scroll in joint ownership, and they both say, well, you know, let's cut it down the middle. You take the first half of this scroll, and I'll take the second. Lo Yachloku. That's a case where even there's mutual agreement, there cannot be division. So the Mishnah wanted to contrast situations of things that are undersized, or you would have thought non-divisible, if it's a chotzer, piece of property, you can divide if there's mutual agreement. There are other things that even with mutual agreement, they remain indivisible. The Gemara indicates, the printers indicate that with these parentheses, that the next section there are those that are not goresed, so we're going to skip down to the end of these parentheses. We have a star. An asterisk on the side, which indicates that what we're about to do is to connect us with an asterisk that your eye, by just scanning the page, will find a previous one. B'mayu kimta l'masnisin, how did we establish our Mishnah? And where was there an attempt to establish Mishnah? Well, we did it on the upper part of the page. We said our Mishnah, that was Ravasi said, the Mishnah was talking about a case of a chotzer she'ein bo din chaluka, right? The Mayu Kimta Lamasnisin, how did we establish Mishnah on the earlier discussion? B'she'ein Bodin Chaluka. E B'she'ein Bodin Chaluka. If it's a smaller than official size area, Ki Ratsu, I have it. So they agreed. So what? Nehadrubahu, let them back out. If one guy doesn't want, he's not happy with the arrangement, doesn't want to contribute to the wall, he doesn't like the whole, so let him back out. Why is it such that the way the Mishnah poses the scenario is, you have this small size area, they had agreed to divide, then one of the parties can force the other one to put up the wall, and force it to contribute to the wall. But one second, if it's ein bo din chalukah, if it's not, it's a smaller than divisible size area, so let them back out. The more answers, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It's also interesting to note that name-wise, it's the same name as the set up the Mishnah as Ein Bo Din Chaluka. If you just, you could see that back with the aid of the asterisk on the upper part of the page. He gives the answer to this problem. He says, Shekonu Miyodan. They made a Kinyan Chalipin. A Kinyan, it's a legal gesture, which is binding. It could be that if it's customary to use a handkerchief in exchange of some article that they acted upon. They made this exchange that locks them in. A kinyan is something that locks you in, and from which point there's no return. The Gemara asks, even if you try to explain that they made a kinyan, kinyanim don't work over verbal agreements. And even if they made a Kenyan gesture, so what? Kenyan devorim bi'almahu. We can take a look at Rashi, the upper quarter of the page. Kenyan devorim hu. V'ein chalipin koinin, elo dovor hanikne, o b'mecher, o b'matona, o shibut karkos, shakinyan chal olov, o metaltalin. What Rashi's explaining is that kinyan chalipin are limited to a situation where you have something that's physical that's being transacted. You mentioned here it could be land, could be or portables. But what are we doing over here? We're not involved in a transfer of land per se. We're talking about an agreement to divide. An agreement is something that's somewhat abstract. An agreement. So Gemara's answer one, they made a kinyan, however, b'shekanu miyodon beruchos. Once again, we'll resort to Rashi. Beruchos, ze borer lo chelek mizrochi. Not only did they agree to divide, but there's also attention paid to something physical. You take the east side, ze borer lo chelek ma'arovi, and the other one takes the west side. V'konu miyodam, and upon that agreement, on a physical section, you take the east side, you take the west side, so, and they made a kinyan. U'me'ato nikne chelik mizrochi lozeh, and if you have two fellows, Mr. A and Mr. B, once Mr. A gains hold of the eastern side, v'ein lozeh chelik bo, Mr. B has no holding anymore in the eastern side. They had originally been partners in this small area. We said it was a jointly held piece of property. But once they made the kinyan, so Mr. A, who holds the east, B has no holding on the east side, and likewise the opposite. B's holding of the west precludes A's having any ownership of the west from this point on. Okay, number two, Rav Ashi Omar, Tigon, Sheholach Zeh B'toch Shelo B'Hichzik, V'Zeh B'toch Shelo B'Hichzik. We said before there was a limitation in the power of kinyanim, that's a kinyan chalipin. However, a kinyan chazaka, a kinyan chazaka be a physical act done to the property, not a handkerchief exchange, but a physical act done to the property, that works. And that's what took place over here, where the one fellow walked on his what was going to be his side, and the other fellow was holach b'soch shelo, thereby acquiring it. The Rashi here does something interesting. Not only is the walking an issue, but he tells you the word v'hichzik. You have to pay attention to that word. Rashi says v'hichzik b'chelko and he made a chazoka, an act on his part. Rofak beporta, he like turned around a little soil. V'karke nikne bechazoka acharei asher rotzu b'shas chaluka. Once there was an agreement to divide, and then they do this physical act to the ground of turning over the soil. It's called kinyan chazoka. They thereby acquire. So, what have we discussed in the last section of Gemara? We've mentioned that the Mishnah, we had to address the issue of what's this rotsu, what's the significance of their wanting. Was once you say that Hezek Riyah, Shmei Hezek, we don't need to have a mutual agreement to things. You can be able to force things. So we answered that we're dealing with a property that itself is usually not divisible because of its small size. It's under a total of 8 amas. So there had to be some level of agreement to make the division. Once they did that, then one can force the other one to contribute to the wall. Mokom shenoag ulivnos. We're now going to deal with, we wrote on the side, notice nosei, ti'ur, chomrei, habiniyah, muskar, mishnah. We're going to describe the building materials that were mentioned in the Mishnah. There were 4 types of stone mentioned in the Mishnah. Here we go. Gvil is, we know that it's a 6 tefach thick wall, hence we wrote the numbers in. That's the thickness of the wall. What is gvil? Avne below mishafya, ticket stones. They're not literally avonim, they're stones. The lomashaf, they're not smoothed out. Gozis, avne de mishafya. Hence, they're stones that have been smoothed out. Dechtiv, kol eile avonim yukoros, kemidos gozis. So we see from the posuk that describes the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that the gozis was a stone, it was a type of stone used in building. Kfisin is archi. Rashi explains archi chatsi levena. V'alevena shloisha tochen. There's something, there's standard size building material called a levena. It happens to be 3 tochen. What's the ariach? Ariach is half of that. V'ariach tefach u'mechza. But now 2 times 1.5 gets me only to 3, but we said it's a 4 tefach thing. Mm-hmm. How do you figure the extra tefach? The uve koisel ariach mikan, ariach mikan. The tefach be'emsa shenosin sham tiach lechabro. He puts like cement, some binding material, additional material between these 2 half bricks to cement them together. So that cementing accounts for the additional tefach. So you have 2 times 1.5 is 3 plus the tefach of cementing material. Livanim, which was another material mentioned in Mishnah, are livni. That's what it's called. It's not so essential to translate it, rather to realize that each one of the materials has its own size, and it's referred to by these terms. Then we have some symbols. Let's take a look at the notation on the side. Mivne. You notice there's I call it the volcano shape thing, and it has, there's a Roman number 1, and if there's a 1, there's got to be a 2. Where there's smoke, there's fire, right? If there's 1, there's 2. There are 2 lishonos in the Gemara. That's indicated on the side in the Mivne. And it says they're Beis Lishonos. And they begin by questioning who says that our definitions to these materials are accurate. And we have this double underline, Mimai de Gvil. Who says that Gvil is what we said? And then the second Lashon will begin with Mimai de Kfisin. Do you see the Roman number 2 in your Gemaras? And it says that it will begin. Who says that Kfisin is what we suggested it was? That's what we indicate with our key on the side. So now looking in the Gemara. Omer le Rabo re the Rovo the Ravashi. Mimai de Gvil. Who says that Gvil are Avni de lo Meshafio Ninu? That they are these jagged stones, Bahai Tefach Yaseru le Musha de Karnasa, and the extra tefach, to get from, not 5, but 6, the to get from 5 to 6 is because of the jaggedness that's featured in the Pirush Chai. There's a picture number 1, it indicates this jaggedness, this extra, we'll call it the jutting out feature of the stone, as is featured in the picture, that counts for the extra tefach. The Gemara continues in its questioning. Dilma, there's a suggested alternative that maybe Gvil is what? How the gozis is really a half of a gozis. If a gozis stone, we said, was 5, so it would be 2.5. Dilma, I'm reading again. Dilma palga de gozis who? Behind tefach yisera. So if you have like each partner contributes 2.5, so it's 2.5 times 2 is only 5. But we said it's the gvil is a 6 tefach things. What's the extra tefach for? By tefach yisera livni, sorry, libeni urbi who? It's for the material, the cementing material between the two rows, between the two rows of stones. And this idea, kide ko'amrinon, as we've said before, kvisin is archi, levenin is livni, v'hai tefach yisera of the kvisin, the extra tefach, the 4 tefach thick kvisin is lebeni orbi. That's a question. To this point, it would be a question. Even if you put a question mark in your Gemara. Okay, so our question then simply is, how are you so sure that Gvil is a 6 tefach thick jagged stone? Omar Le. So the Rav Ashi responds, V'letameich, you who were questioning what we said, according to you, Kfisin is Archi Menolon. How did you know? In order to ask your question, you have to work with the assumption that you have the basis for another material that also had this tefach thick cementing material in the middle, and you built up your whole question based on that other material. So how do you know that Kfisin is Archi Minolon? From where do you know that? Elo, Gemara Gemirilo. You must have a tradition to that effect. And based on that, you ask your question. Reveal Nami, Achim Shafi, Mor Gemirilo. The Gvil as well as being a jagged stone is also some kind of oral tradition, and it's based on that we said what we did. Iko Diamri, it's now the same Gemara, the same style, the same everything, except the fact that the jumping off point is going to be, instead of the Gvil, where our jumping off point is going to be Kfisin. Iko Diamri Le, Omar Le, Ravacho Breda Ravapio, the Ravashi, we might the high Kfisin Archininu. Who says that the kvisin is the half levenim, 1.5, 1.5 plus the cement material in the middle? Dilmo my kvisin avdi bilam shafion. Vahai tefach yiseru lemusha the karnaso kidukan rinon. As we said before, gvil is avdi bilam shafion. Gozis is avdi the shafion. Vahai tefach yiseru. The extra tefach that we had by the gvil is lemusha the karnaso for the jaggedness. You seem to accept that over there. So why not adopt the same idea of Kfisin being a jagged type stone for Tefachtik? Omalei uletameich, you who are asking the question, but according to you, Gvil, Avdil Mashafyam and all that, how do you know? In order to ask your question, you have to ask it based on accepting that Gvil was the jagged stone. Where do you know that from? Elo Gemara Gemirilo, you know that because of some kind of tradition. Well, Hachanami, so too with regard to the Kfisin. Gemara, Gemiri Law. We have that on tradition, that it's a jagged stone. Omar Abaye. Now we start a new discussion, hence in our Gemara markings, we have a period right before this, indicating new thought. Before we continue, we'll just glance at the side, as is highly recommended in this edition, periodically to glance on the side to see if we're encountering some new idea, and we do have something here called No say. Actually, you're right, there's a no say, and it says there's an aleph and a beis there. Those are two lishonos. The inyan, kamut hachomer, the amount of material, shenoistin bein shnei shuros ravonim, shemahavim hakoiso, the amount of material that's placed between, the cementing material between the two rows of stones that form the wall. So let's see the two Lashonas. Omar Rabbi, Shma Mino, from the discussion that we had till now, we can conclude, Kol Beini Urbi equals Tefach. Rashi, Lebeini Urbi, Bein Dimus Shemikan, a row, that's on this side, Bein Dimus Shemikan, Beno Sein Tit Be'emtza, that's Beini Urbi, the cementing material. How much is this? How much of thickness does it account for? One tefach. So, when is that? Hanimili betina. That's if you're using tina material. Well, in the context of our shiurim, it's not essential to give literal translations, but rather to acknowledge that they're different materials. So that the tefach amount, that's if you're dealing with the tina material. Aval beriksa, if you're using that cement material, we wrote in over here, they're avonim dakois vitid. It's some type of mixture of pebbles, of small stones and cement. Boitve, if you were using that material, the riksa material, as opposed to the tina material, you would have to provide for more than a tefach. That's what Abaye wants to conclude from our discussion. V'ikah d'amri, alternative loshon, an alternative girsa. Hani mili, when is it that we require a tefach? V'riksa, if you're using that material. So you'll notice it seems to be a weaker material, hence you'll require more whenever it's mentioned. So when is a tefach? When is a tefach the amount of thickness? That's if you're using the richsa material. Aval betina, if you were using tino material to cement, which is a stronger material, lo boy kuliah, you wouldn't require even a tefach, it'd be even less. The Gemara is going to continue now with issues concerning thickness of the wall, but we'll take a look at what we have written on the side, the nosei. Yachas bein gova lerochav legabi koiso. We're looking for a ratio between height and thickness. So the Gemara continues. Lemeimra, are you suggesting de begozis, that if you choose the gozis material, kol dalid amos goiva, the wall that we've described till now was a 4 amah high wall that prevents the hezekriah. That for every 4 amas of height, e have a pusya chamisha koi. If it has a thickness of 5 tochim, then it will stand. Because that's what we've described. We said gozes material, if you're dealing with gozes, the given that the height of the wall is 4 amas, and gozes we said was a 5 tefach thick material, so for every 4 amas of height, you need 5 tefach of thickness. And if you have that, it'll stand. And ilo, if you don't have that, lo koi. So then, here, we have a little asterisk that we made a note on the inside of the page. What would the result of this ratio be? Let's say you wanted to have an 8 amah high wall. So then you would need 10 tochim of thickness. That's what would stand. That would stand double. That's a pun there. The Gemara asks, amotraxin. There was a wall in the Beis HaMikdash that separated the area called Kodesh from the Kodesh of Kodashim. Kodesh of Kodashim was the area where the Holy Ark was located with the Ten Commandments. And the larger area where the menorah and the shulchan and the mizbeach hazav were located. That wall that was between the two regions was called the amotraxin. What's the nature of this wall in terms of dimensions? Well, amo is part of its name. It means it was an amo. It's a 6 tefach thickness. Dehavoi gavoa talsin amso. It had a height of 30 amo. Velo havi pusyo, and its width, its thickness, Eloshis Pushrivakom, it had a width of merely 6 tochim, and it stood. Well, that doesn't jive with the ratio we suggested. The Gemara answers something that I suppose people in engineering would understand most of all. It says that you have called geometric benefit by slight increase gives you geometrically increased proportions than as opposed to what we thought before. Simply, it's everything, you just add everything. And here is the answer. Because he went from 5 to 6, he went just a little bit more, 1 extra tefach. Koi. That allows it to stand the 30 amas of height that the amotraxin had. The Gemara continues. We have a semicolon indicating that it's a partially new thought over here, but there you'll see there's a continuum. On the outside of your page, we have a nosei. Kir hamafrid beveis hamikdash in hakodesh hakodesh hakodoshim. We discuss Aleph Bayis Rishon, and now we'll discuss Bayis Sheni as well. Now, Bayis Sheni, they didn't have an amatraxin wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodoshim. Those who learn Maseches Yuma may recall there was a preoccupation with a curtain. There was a curtain that separated the two areas. So Mora says, if the Mikdash Sheni might time a law with amatraxin, why didn't they construct the amatraxin in the Bayis Sheni, second holy temple? The Gemara answers, Kikoi, under what circumstances does the wall stand? The Talsin Koi, that's if you're working with a height of 30 amas, so then this the ama of thickness, the 6 ama is equivalent of 6 tochen. The ama thickness will be sufficient. However, Tfei Lo Koi, if you are going to increase the height anymore, and I didn't mention it before, but Bayis Sheni was higher, was taller, at a greater height than Bayis Rishon. So the 6 tefach thick wall, higher than 30 amos, will not stand. More asks to Menolon, the Ave Gavot, how do you know that Bayis Sheni was more? In order to give this answer, you're working with that assumption that Bayis Sheni was in fact taller. How do you know that? Answer, Dichtiv, Godolia Kavoid Abayis Hazel Achro Minorishon. Greater will be the honor of the glory of the second temple more than the first. So we see second temple was greater. Rabbi Shmuel, Yamilo, Yochanan, and Rabbi Elazar. These two sets of Rabbonim, there's a question of who said it, so that's what Yamilo indicates. It could be either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar. Chad Omar, one of the rabbis said, Bebinyan, that the word Godol in the Pasuk indicated in structure size. V'chad Omar b'shanim, in terms of years, longevity. V'isalaha, both are true. It was greater in size and also in longevity. Bayis Rishon stood 410 years, Bayis Sheni stood 420 years. The Gemara continues with a series of questions, and it's indicated by the diamonds. You can notice on the outside of the page, in the Shas Ozer edition, we try to feature what the markings are doing as you go along. These diamonds are Hatsa'ot Chilufiot, alternative suggestions, the Binyan HaMachitza B'Bayis Sheni, for the construction of the wall in the Bayis Sheni. Bein HaKadosh HaKadosh HaKadosh, that wall, that separation wall, or separation unit between the Holy of Holies and the Holies, etc. More asks, V'nevdu Talsin Amen V'binyan V'idoch Neved Baruches. Why not do the following? 30 amas of height of stone, and the balance, whatever you needed to finish it off, let's say another 70 amas to get to the 100 amas of height, do that with the curtain. Why did they have the full 100 amas of height with curtain? Answer, Ki koi talsin amso nami aga tikru mazivo koi. Lo tikru mazivo lo koi. The whole idea of the 30 ama tall wall standing with a mere 6 tochen of thickness, that was with the assistance of the pressure that the ceiling provided. But if you have a 30 amma high wall with an additional 70 ammas of airspace above that, you don't have the advantage of a ceiling pressing down to keep it in place. So this suggestion of mixing materials, namely stone and curtain, is not going to work. Another suggestion. Levid ma de efshe b'binyan. Levid idoch paroches. Why not make what you can do with the stone? Okay, so we said it won't stand if you have a 6 tefach thickness, namely a 1 amo, which is equal to 6 tefach thickness, without the assistance of ceiling pressure. We said it won't stand 30 amas of height. Maybe 20 amas it'll stand. Maybe 15. It'll stand something. You know? So why not make out of stone whatever can stand, and the balance make with the curtain. Omar Abaye, Gemiri, we have a tradition. I kuhu bebinyan, I kuhu beporoches. It's either all stone or all curtain. Not mixing of materials. I kuhu bebinyan, li mikdash. The precedent for saying completely binyan, meaning construction, stone, that's from the mikdash, namely mikdash rishon, bayis rishon, where it was just stone. I kuhu beporoches, the idea of having total and curtain, only curtain, that's mi mishkan, that's learned from the mishkan, which had had a curtain separating the kodesh from the kodesh hakodesh. There's no precedent for combining the materials. Period. We mentioned dimensions of thickness in the Mishnah. Does that include the facing material? Sometimes when you have raw stone, often there's whitewash or plaster on the outside to enhance the raw stone, give it a smoothness to it. So Gorka now asks, when there's an assumption here that all walls made between neighbors are not just going to be just a pile of stones, but it's going to be stone pile on top of one another with an additional facing added. So the question Gorka asks here, and is by Elaho, Hain Basita or Vilma Hain Velosita, the dimensions given in the Mishnah, is that including the facing material or not? Okay. Notice in the markings we have triangles that are going to appear, and they're going to appear in a flip-flop fashion. On the outside, we have an explanation. We have the triangles of ma'akav, means to keep track. Shuvot, the pointing of the triangle, are responses. L'she'ila, ha'im hashum b'mishnah b'inyan obey ha'kweso, koyulim. Do they include sidon, shalpanam, olo? Do they include that seed material or not? So, here we have an answer. Omar of Nahman Yitzchak, Mistabra, most likely, came this sidon. That the numbers given in the Mishnah are already including the facing material. I want to emphasize, the facing material is not to be confused with the cementing material that holds the two rows together. This is something new. Okay, so, Rav Nachman wants to suggest that it's most likely including the dimensions include the seat. The Yisafet, I don't think, low seat on. As if you were to think that the dimensions don't include the seat, Lisnei Lishilei, the Mishnah should have mentioned the dimension that the seed would be accounting for. But there's no accounting of something else. Elolav Shmamino, Hain Basita. So we must conclude that the dimensions already include the seed, the facing material. Nope. Rejects. Notice the triangle flips down. So I don't accept it. I'll tell you that it's exclusive of the seed material. And since the seed doesn't account for a full tefach, the Mishnah doesn't mention these fractional dimensions. Gemara asks, oh, katoni, the levainin. When the Mishnah wants to talk about Levena, it says, Zeno say tefach mechtsa, emphasis on the mechtsa. The Zeno say tefach mechtsa. The Mishnah doesn't seem to hesitate mentioning fractions of tefach. There's more answers. Hasam, the case of the tefach mechtsa that each party contributes, the mechtsa is over there, is chosi v'tzufei. It adds, it combines to a full tefach. Two halves as a whole, so that had significance, hence the Mishnah mentioned it. However, the Sid material, even if both neighbors apply facing, it's not going to add up to a tefach. Okay. So the Gemara continues with this discussion. Toshma, we want to, at this point, you can see from the direction of the triangle that we're continuing with attempting to answer the question. In our key, we had mentioned that the triangle facing up were attempts to answer the question of the sieve. Those the dimensions included us. So this Toshma, here though, I want to, and wrote into our edition, that we're going to here show that it's hanging below Sidon. It's not the same as the Rav Nachman conclusion before. But nevertheless, it's the same, it's pointing in the same direction, because this too is a response to the question. Toshma, HaKorah Sha'amru, the Korah that's mentioned as a demarcation to the entrance of a Mavui in Maseches Erevin, that Korah is Rechava, has a width today, the Kabel Oriach, that you'd be able to place an Oriach type of building material, an Oriach on this beam. The entrance to a Mavui had a beam, and there are pictures that are that you can find in the Yerush Chai that illustrate these things. That beam has to that's at the entrance of the Mavui, which is a, not our sukkah, it's ramifications for the Shabbos, carrying in public areas. The thickness of the beam would be able to hold an Oriach. The Oriach, what is that? Chatzi Levena Shel Gimel Tochen. Is a half of a Levena, the Levena being three Tochen. So what do you see from here? You see that the Levena is three Tochen. And there's no reference here to seed. There's what's the need for a seed over here? It's just the dimension given of the stone that would fit on the beam. So what do we see? That the materials, and we had Levena mentioned in our Mishnah too, materials and the shiurim that are given along with it are exclusive, don't include the seed. Gemara rejects this. Hosom the Rav Ravosa. The Oriach mentioned in the source that we had just read, it was in the frame, that source was talking about large stones, larger than standard. So that the standard would be less than three tochim, and if the Mishnah is talks about a Levena being three tochim, so if the basic stone is less than three tochim, so when it says three tochim, it must be including the seed. And the Mishnah Erevin that mentions three tochim for the thickness of the Levena, and that's a large Levena. Daika Nami, by precise reading, we can actually prove this. The Katani, the Mishnah in Erevin used the expression Shel Shloisha Tochen. It wasn't sufficient to say Chatzi Levena. It said Chatzi Levena Shel Shloisha Tochen. Half of the three Tochen Levena. See, it must be that the standard Levena is less than three Tochen. Mechlau, we can infer the Ika Zutra, that there is a smaller type Levena, and that's what our Mishnah is referring to, Shmamina. That would be a reasonable conclusion. Hence, if you see a Levena that is three Tvachim in our Mishnah, that's including the Sikh. The Gemara goes on to a new topic, and you can see on the outside margin, the Nosei, Lo Listor Inish, Bei Kenishta, a person should not knock down a Bei Kenishta Atika, an old shul, Adeboni Bei Kenishta Akriti, until he has a replacement shul already standing. Omar Achista, Lo Listor Inish, Bei Kenishta, Adeboni Bei Kenishta Akriti. Right? One's not allowed to knock down an existing shul until he has a replacement shul already standing. Iko diamri mishum shusa, iko diamri mishum tsluye. There are two explanations offered why this is so. The first was mishum shusa, because of negligence or laziness. Imagine the following scenario. They knock down the previous shul, they get lazy in building up the new shul. They're not going to have any shul. The one's knocked down, the other's not getting built. The other one is simply, where are they going to daven? My binayu, what would be a point of difference between these two hesberim, these two explanations? Iko binayu, the Iko duchta litzluye. given a situation that this, the people in question that want to knock down the shul, they have another place to daven. If they have another place to daven, so as far as the second consideration, we would say, okay, knock down your old shul, even if you don't have the new shul built yet. But according to the first reason, where our concern is that they have a new shul, we're not going to allow them to knock down the old one just because they happen to have an alternative place to daven. Remar Mazutra, Sasri Ubonu Be Kaito Besisva, Vesasri Ubonu Be Sisva Be Kaito. To explain these lines, I would like to opt to read the Rabbeinu Gershon commentary on the inside of the margin. Notice there's a little asterisk with a circle. Sasri Ubonu Be Kaito Besisva. Shomati, Rabbeinu Gershon, I heard, the Shte Botiknes Tolahem. These Remar Mazutra had two shuls. They had two shuls. Echad hoyu mispalim b'moisak shomim, v'echad b'moisak chamah. One, they daven during the cold season, the moisak shomim, the rainy season, the cold season, and the other one during the summer season, the hot season. Oisu shuyu moisak chamah, hoyu mechazkin oisoy b'moisak shomim. The summer shul, they would do repairs. All repairs they did on the summer shul when? In the winter time. Shuyu moisak shomim, the winter shul, they did the repairs on that. So there's always a place available for them to daven. As far as the words in the Gemara were concerned, we have the kaito sounds like the Hebrew kites, the summer, and sisra, it sounds like the wrong word in Hebrew, spav, in the Gemara it's referring to the cold season. Continuing in the Gemara, Amalei Ravina le Ravashi. He is going to ask him concerning the issue of not having a new shul completely ready. What would be in the following? What would you say regarding knocking down the previous shul in the event that they had collected money and that the money's lying there? The money's there already. So maybe we could knock down the old shul and as far as the Shi'usa consideration would be, maybe we wouldn't have to concern ourselves with that. Rashi adds that point that here we're dealing with the Shi'a consideration, the negligence consideration, that they'll get lazy. That may be what happens if they have money and the money's available for the building of the new shul. Omar Lay. So Rav Ashi answers, Dilmo Misrami Lu Pidyon Shvuyim V'Avi Lu. It might be very nice if they have the money lying around, but if they knock down the old shul and an issue of redeeming captive Jews comes up, they will have to use the money for that major mitzvah. And the new shul isn't going to be built. In the meantime, they knock down the old one. So let's just not rely on the fact that you have money around. Question. Let's say, not just money, but they have all the building materials already there. The Rashi explains these expressions, the stones are set up in rows, one on top of the other, and they're ready to be put into the building structure, into the building effort. Haji Hudri, Meshupin, Misukonim, Rahite Hagag, the beams, the necessary for making the ceiling, they're also there. What would you say then? Maybe you can knock down the old shul. You have all of the building materials lying there ready for use. So Rav Ashi says, even so, don't knock down the old shul yet. Come up, and they'll sell off the building materials in order to get cash to redeem the captives. More asks, if you're always going to introduce this Pidyon Shvuyim consideration, so how's it ever going to help to even have a fully built new shul? Imagine Pidyon Shvuyim comes up, they'll have to sell the new shul. Don't ever knock down the first shul, because you're always worrying about a Pidyon Shvuyim issue coming up. More has a very interesting answer. Omale, do you say the Inshi Lo Mezavim? literally a person's domicile is not sold. People don't sell, people aren't expected to sell their structures that are in use for the purpose of Minyan Shvuah. That they don't sell. Up till now we've said a halacha, not to build a new shul, not to knock down an old shul until the new shul is built. Velo amora, this is now a qualification of that halacha, that the idea of not knocking down an old shul, unless the not to knock down the old shul until the new one is built, that's only ela de lo chazi beit yua, that you don't notice in the old shul structural deficiencies. Ava chazi ba tui, if you notice structural deficiencies in the old shul, sasri yubani. You gotta do whatever you have to do in order to strengthen the structure, even if the matter is a matter of knocking it down and rebuilding it, and you can't wait. Ravashi, Rav Ashi noticed structural deficiency in the shul, the Knishta, in the city, Masa Machasya, city of Machasya, Sasre, he knocked it down, Va'ayo Lekurye Lasam, and he brought his bed to the site where the shul was knocked down, he brought his bed there, below Afke, and he didn't take it out, Ad Maskin Le Shvichi, until they put the drains, the roof drains, gutters in place until it was finished. What was the point of all this? What was the point of bringing his bed there? So we'll take a look at Rashi. Aile Lupuri Hasam, Kidei Shalo Yisyayish Mivinyonon, Shachamo Vakshom Mitzarim, they saw the rov of the town to be sleeping under open air, and the sun, all the weather elements. Causing him anguish, causing him suffering, that was desires them to get the job done. We have a name that appears in a firebox. Firebox is a marking that indicates that we'll be preoccupied with this figure for an omen of Gemara or more. On the outside margin, we have an osay, and if we say indicate there, it goes to Dal or Aleph. Atzosa shabocha b'mbuta l'hurdas ha-melech v'shateitz ez beis ha-migdash. The eights of the bocha b'mbuta gave to Hurdas, we're talking about the second temple era, the latter part of the second temple era. He gave an eights to the king Herod to make improvements on the beis ha-migdash. More asks, bocha b'mbuta hechi asbei lei eights of l'hurdas the mystere the beis ha-migdash. How could Bobo Ben Buta, in light of the discussion we saw just before the moment, make another reference to that? How could he give him such an etza to knock down the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of for improvement? The Omar Achisa Loster Inchi Bei, can you, again, Lo Lister Inishme, Kinishto, Adiboni Bei Kishtach Udah, and of course, is not allowed to knock down an old shul until he has the new one built. He didn't have two Beis HaMikdashes over there where he first rebuilt a new one and then knocked down the old one. That's not what happened. How could he give him such an etzah? So more answers. Just like we just finished saying in the moral report, he saw structural deficiency, that something had to be done. Immediate action. When you're dealing with the monarchy, you don't have to fear that the job won't get done. Remember, one of the things we mentioned before, the job won't get done, you don't have to worry about that. Deal with the monarch. The Omar Shmuel, Omar Malchusa, if the king orders or says that he's going to uproot a mountain, the mountain will be uprooted and there will be no backing out. At this point, we are going to go into a piece of Gemara that's involved with history. On the outside margin, we have a subtopic. Hordas haya evit the base hashmonai, the olam the shiltan. The Hordas Herod was really, his origins are as a slave to the Hasmonean dynasty, and he rose to the position of leadership. Number two, Hordas harag harbe rabbonim. Before this, he killed off a major chunk of the rabbinic leadership. leaving Bova ben Buta as a counselor, as a source of advice, and advising. Hordas Abdo de Beis Chashmonoi Havi. He was a servant, the Gemara says, from the Hasmonean household. Losaneno Pa'oisati Hekes. He laid his eyes on a particular young girl of the Hasmonean household. He wanted to take her as a wife. Yumachad Shame Bas Kola the Omar. And one day he heard a heavenly voice, the Omar, Kol Abdo de Morid Hashto Mitzlach. Any eved, any slave, any servant that rebels from his master now will be successful. He took the cue. Oh, I can rebel now. Kom Hatlinu Lukulu Marvise. He arose, he killed all his masters. The Shaira Lahi Yanuksa, he left that one girl that he wanted. He choses Ahi Yanuksa the Koboy the Mitzvah. When the young girl saw that he wanted to marry her, she didn't want to have anything to do with it. Slika the Igra, the Roma called, she went up to the roof and shouted Omra and said the following, Kol man, the Osi the Oman, anyone who henceforth comes in and proclaims the base Hashmonai Kasina that I come from the house of Hasmonean household, Avda, who let it be known he's a servant. She sang on herself that there doesn't remain from the Hasmoneans anyone other than that girl, referring to herself. It's like her, they call the suicide note, suicide announcement, and that girl is going to be is now jumping off.